You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Extremely tasteful.
Breakfast food on 95BFM.
Morena Delaney, how are you this morning?
Morena, I'm very well, thank you.
That's
enjoying
good.
This frosty weather.
It is. It's really, truly the season has changed now. We've been, you know, dancing on the edge of autumn and now we're well and truly in it.
Yes, it's time to buy a bottle of cream and some brown sugar.
Hard.
And have porridge.
Yes.
Every morning.
Porridge and joya.
Despite that, we're not actually here to talk about porridge today. What are we talking about on breakfast food this morning?
Look, I was inspired by the tomato juice thrower I saw at a protest on the weekend.
Hearty.
To talk tomatoes.
Yeah, nice.
I've been reading a bit about food waste. Auckland Council are bringing in green bins, I think, for food waste. That's sort of on the cards.
Mm.
And I've been reading a few tips, and one of them I read is shop your fridge first, which I think... you know, we're all guilty of not doing. We'll be
totally.
Like, oh, what do I feel like? I'll go to the supermarket and buy all these ingredients for this one dish I feel like eating and making. But just, you know, trying really hard to reverse that and just use what you've got. Because it is embarrassing how much food we all throw away every year.
It really is.
So tin tomatoes are a great staple, obviously, and lend themselves to many different cuisines and just about, you know, getting a hot dinner on the table. So one that I've been doing lately is just a really basic pasta. And little things you can do, like brown the butter first, just get a little bit more depth of flavour. So start with some butter, you know, and then adding your garlic to that. And then, yeah, you're just starting off, you know, way better.
Yum.
by getting some depth. And then, yeah, one recipe I saw online this week was basically brown butter, bit of garlic, bit of pepper, they use tomato puree, but you could use a tin of tomatoes,
mm-hmm.
and then a splash of cream, which
Yum.
You're going to have on hand because it's porridge season.
Exactly.
And then pasta, and then just finishing, like I like having a few things that are a bit more expensive, like parmesan in the fridge, and then, you know, obviously countering that with as many bulk cheaper ingredients as possible. So if you've got parmesan, then, you know, and then add some salty pasta to that, you've got a very delicious dinner on the table in about 10 minutes.
I feel like those are the two things to always have in the cupboard, is a tin of tomatoes and some sort of cream based thing, whether that's coconut cream or like an actual cow cream in your fridge.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the two sort of things that if I don't have them in my cupboard, I start to get a bit like stressed
empty.
What am I going to eat?
Yeah, totally. And I was talking to someone at a lunch the other day, and they said their default meal is always dal.
Yum, yeah.
So that's their, you know, they don't order takeaways. If they don't have food on the table, then they just whip up a dal. So that's just having a really good spice collection, which is worth a weekend trip to one of the bulk supermarkets to stock up.
Yeah, nice.
And just getting experimental. And like, you know, a tin of chickpeas going in there bulks things up too, so that's always good. Another favourite, if you've got chicken, is chicken, green olives and tinned tomatoes, like cooking that.
Yum.
Sort of about 20-25 minutes, and smoked paprika as the sort of main flavour, so you're getting this sort of almost Spanish-y kind of thing happening. That feels really luxe. And, you know, just a bit of cooking time gives it great flavour. You could serve it with anything.
I feel like the key is to have a good sort of selection of spices, and then you can kind of go in any direction a little bit.
Definitely. And it's a bit like what we were talking about a couple of weeks ago with herbs. It sometimes takes a bit of experimentation to work out what's going to taste good. But there's a few years ago, an American food writer, Alison Roman, she did a thing called The Stew, which was a very basic... you know, onion, garlic, ginger, fried off, and then coconut cream and chickpeas and spices. And so it's ultimately like, yeah, sort of mild chickpea curry. And she sort of, I think she described it as frizzling chickpeas on the side. So you get some crispy chickpeas as the garnish. You know, you can add greens, just whatever wilting greens are in your fridge.
Mm-hmm.
Just really simple stuff. And having a few of those like sort of default meals up your sleeve, so you don't have to revert to, you know, takeaways if that's what you're in the mood for, then it's a really good way to
I had
cut down on waste and
I had a flatmate who was the absolute, like, dahl fiend in our flat. And I feel like they used to do a radio show here on BFM. Shout outs to Charlie. They live in London now, so I feel like I can rag them about this and get away with it. But for the first few, their dahl was eventually very good. But for the first few times they made it, they were one of those people who really takes the recipe as the Bible. And they were like, it says to not over stir it. So they let... They were, when we were going to serve it, they were like, don't dig down too deep because there's the burnt bit at the bottom. And I was like, that's not actually in the recipe,
it's
Charlie.
It's the flavour anchor. You know that.
Yeah.
You know the flavour anchor.
Those charred sort of flavours.
Sign me up for the burnt bits.
Yeah. So eventually we were like, you can actually stir it to prevent it burning.
You're allowed.
Like, that's allowed. Yeah. And once we got past that, it was very good dahl. But yeah, there were a few sort of dodgy times where you didn't want to dig too deep into the big pot.
That's so good. Yeah, another good one I saw this week was minestrone.
Yum.
So like lots of and I think with beans I usually have tins of beans on hand, but you know, if you're organized again, you can buy them dry and soak them for cooking. So like a white bean tomato based minestrone, just with any vegetables, like it's so forgiving. And then like we talked about, garnishing with things like parmesan or you know, if you've got some bread, I'm guilty of sort of the end of the sourdough going a bit hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by the time you sort of had a few fresh sandwiches and some nice toast, you've got this chunk at the end. If you do have the wherewithal to sort of make some breadcrumbs or like a, I think it's called like a pangrattata, like an Italian kind of garlicky kind of crumb with herbs and stuff in it, and keep that in a jar and like sprinkling that on top will just like elevate, you know, a really simple meal.
This sounds great, I have to say. These are all things that I think it's a good season for, because no one has the energy in winter to really do like a big hearty cook except maybe once a week. So having a few pantry staples is a good vibe. It's also
Totally.
I feel like we're now in the territory we've dabbled in hot cross bun chat, but we're now in maybe territory where it's not starting to seem so insane that we're seeing Easter eggs in the supermarket. What's your go-to, Delaney, on an Easter egg scale?
So I think I had a cream egg the other day. Ooh. And it was so good.
Yum.
Because I think they went bad for a few years. I think they just weren't as creamy. The inside bit was like less and it was a bit thicker, maybe a bit granular. But yeah, the one I had the other day was just like what I remembered, which was just this. I mean, we had them very rarely as children, but they were just such
super
a treat.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I feel like my go-to treat are the mini eggs, the wee Cadbury ones. We were actually talking about them in the office.
Oh, yeah, they're prolific.
Evangelical. They have a cult following, mini eggs.
They're so good. And when I can't find them in the supermarket around this time of the year, I actually genuinely feel quite sad, because they're the thing that sometimes by the checkout that I will always...
Oh, a little treat.
Oh, just a little treat. Oh, it's $1.30. I guess I'll just chuck it in my cart.
That's how they get you.
Yeah, exactly.
It sure is.
Thoughts on marshmallow? So thoughts on marshmallow eggs, though? Because I'm a bit, like, ambivalent.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're
I'm
into it.
I'm a huge fan.
I am a massive marshmallow girlina.
Okay, nice. Yep. Strong
exactly
bat for that.
Did exactly that at the dairy the other day. They had individually wrapped just the half marshmallow, and I was like, oh, little treat.
Little treat.
Don't mind if I do.
Yum.
But yeah, I think, you know, the hollow ones, the cheap chocolate hollow bunnies are generally like definitely the lower end of the scale.
So low.
Yeah, very low, I think cream eggs, marshmallow. There's a really bougie brand of marshmallow eggs, Queen Anne, from South Island. You'll probably be familiar.
Oh, yes.
They are, they're like God-tier Easter eggs.
Yes,
I think.
They are.
They're just the absolute pinnacle.
I'd like to know what people's scale of best and worst Easter chocolate is. 5395, you can text us. Also, any other suggestions for your basic tomato can recipe, send them through on that number as well. Delaney, thank you so much for chatting with us this morning. Have a lovely rest of your day, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. Sounds great.
See ya.
See ya.
Food for thought.
Breakfast food on 95 BFM.
That was a 95 BFM podcast. Support 95 BFM with a B card. Go to 95bfm.com/signup.